You are listening to Kilometre Zero by The Cycling Podcast, powered by Zwift, the fitness app where fun is fast.
My name is Joe Dombrowski. I ride for UAE Team Emirates, and this is my fifth Giro d'Italia.
Giro d'Italia stage 7 today. We started in Matera, which I actually didn't know so much about. And, you know, rarely do I get to pay much attention to the starts and finishes, but incredible town. I think Freeb said that it was the third oldest consistently inhabited town in the world. That might be fake news, but I'm pretty sure I saw it on Freeb's Twitter feed. So I guess it depends what you believe, what sort of news he's hawking anyway. but in any case, it was meant to be a pretty easy day today, with the exception of if there was wind, and the wind was howling in my window in the hotel last night. So I had a feeling that today was going to be not the day that everyone had hoped for. And yeah, it was just a lot of stress. I was not in the first group from 5K, and eventually came back and was involved in this crash at 45K to go, which was pretty much from the banner. Once we hit 50K to go, every 5K is marked with a banner, you know, denoting the distance of the finish. And also, it's a billboard of sorts for sponsors, which obviously they generate revenue from. And for whatever reason, they often position these arches in a way that the road is a bit of a pinch point. And on a day like today, when there's so much stress in the peloton with the wind and everyone wanting to be at the front, you know, the road, the riders are from one end of the road to the other. And that was caused a big crash with a lot of guys behind. It was probably a third or halfway through the group that the crash happened. So I was caught up in that, and I had to change the bike, and eventually came back to the bunch around 20K to go. And yeah, today was meant to be for Gaviria. I think there was a little bit of a chaos in the lead out, and unfortunately didn't really get to contest for the win, but I think there's going to be some more good sprint days. And yeah, I mean, personally, I'm just happy for the day to be over. I don't really enjoy crosswinds. You know, it's just stress, and, you know, you always have to be fighting for the position. And for a guy like me, you know, big and tall, but also not a heavy rider, it's quite difficult. And even if you're in good position, there's always the chance that, you know, if something goes wrong, you can go very quickly from the first echelon to the last. And it's difficult for people to understand who, you know, don't have intimate knowledge of cycling. It's like, how is it that on a dead flat road, the bunch can just explode into pieces? But, you know, it's a really nuanced thing. And if you find yourself caught out, all of a sudden a gap of 2 or 3 meters can turn into 2 or 3 minutes really quickly. So it makes for a lot of stress, because, you know, the sprinters want to sprint for the stage, the GC guys want to stay in the front, and, you know, not everyone can be at the front at one time. So it makes for a pretty long day. And yeah, I can't say that I really enjoyed much of today, but glad it's over, and looking forward to tomorrow. Good afternoon from the first rest day at the Giro d'Italia. We had a pretty hard stage yesterday, actually. It was really nasty conditions, a lot of climbing, nothing super decisive. It was all pretty shallow climbs, and the finish itself was not so hard, but already you saw some gaps among the GC contenders. There was a small group of us of maybe 25 that were together coming into the last 500 meters yesterday, and I suspect also the conditions being so cold, it was quite difficult for, at least I felt that it was like really difficult to kind of accelerate. But now, enjoying the rest day, trying to be kind of as low key as possible. You know, we've done 9 days of racing now, and it's not that all day, every day it's, you know, full gas racing, but at some point every day you have to be 100% focused when the race is on. So it's just nice to kind of disconnect and use the day to, you know, maybe catch up with family back home. And I'm quite into keeping a really organized suitcase, so I like to kind of go through everything and make sure everything's correct, and check your rain bags, make sure that everything's ready for the next day, and generally just kind of chill out. We had a little bit of an early wake up with an anti-doping control, and then also last night we had the first PCR test for COVID, which they're doing, you know, across the entire race on both rest days. And I mean, we hope that everything is okay with that. And I think everyone hopes that the race carries on all the way to Milan without problems, whether it be COVID related, or obviously the weather could also be a challenge in the final week when we get into the mountains. But for the moment, just kind of enjoying the day. That the rest day always seems to pass the quickest of any of the days in the Grand Tour, considering you don't do a whole lot. Everyone, I think, has a little bit different theory about the best way to go about it. You know, how much should you ride? How hard should you ride? Do you even need to ride at all? I mean, personally, we all went out for about an hour, pretty low key. And I guess my feeling is often it's like, come the second rest day, a little more important to do good, solid ride, because sometimes if you have a day really totally off, when you're that fatigued, I find you shut down a little bit. But I think everyone's a bit different, and you know, so that's kind of how we approached it today in the team. It's like some guys rode a bit more, some a bit less, and it was sort of totally up to you. And then for the rest, just kind of taking it easy, try and get a nap in, catch up with family back home, maybe read a book, watch some Netflix, and get ready for the second week. So stage 10, first day after the rest day, bit of a complicated stage day actually, with a lot of short, sharp climbs close to the finish. It was a pretty wild first couple hours of racing. I think we did something like 93K in the first 2 hours. A lot of guys wanting to be in the break. And, you know, additionally, there's the battle ongoing for the Ciclamino jersey between Sagan and Demar, and at one point FDJ was trying to bring the break back, presumably to take the points, but they kind of bailed on that effort as it was such a strong breakaway pretty much that went clear. And you know, when you have guys like that rolling up front, even with a full team pulling, I think it's quite difficult to bring them back. For me personally, it's been a bit of a tough day. Seems like I picked up a bit of a stomach virus the last day of racing, stage 9. We had some pretty nasty weather and have been having a hard time keeping food down. And today was, not super nice. I think 40 Ks to go was shitting in someone's front garden with just the ambulance behind me. So on a personal level, I'm just kind of hoping to survive these next days, and hopefully it, you know, improves, and maybe we can have a good final week, or you know, I can show something. Obviously the doctors have been really on top of it, given the COVID protocols and situations. They don't want to take any risk, but obviously my test was negative and it seems like just a stomach bug. So at this point I think we'll stay in the race, and hopefully it'll pass and things will get better. You know, we woke up to initially no news, and I was thinking that no news is probably bad news, because it was not a, you know, clear resounding answer that there were no positives. And I spoke with our team doctor, and he had spoken with the Mitchelton team doctor, who, you know, had heard that there was quite a few positives, and it turned out that a number of them were in their team. And we saw among the riders all of Jumbo and all of Mitchelton withdraw today, as well as Michael Matthews. You know, I think the race is doing the best it can. I'd say there's a couple exceptions, and I know it's not, you know, in a perfect world, I think the teams would not be staying at hotels with anyone else there. But I mean, we also have to be realistic in what accommodations are even available in the various places we're staying. Aside from that, you know, the start villages, we have to be quite careful, because it's probably the biggest concentration of fans on the roadside where we're in close contact. And as we saw with Simon Yates, he was obviously tested negative coming into the race. So it raises the question, well, you know, where did he contract the virus? And seemingly, you know, it was somewhere in within the racing. So obviously the bubble is not completely foolproof. And I'm a little bit worried, I would say, in the sense that, you know, with Mitchelton, it started with one rider. And then I think it was announced today they had something like five positives. And clearly it can be quite difficult to control. Even if you send one rider home, it's like, how do you, you know, we're in the bus together, we're at dinner together. There's a lot of contact. And, you know, everyone's doing the best they can in terms of hand washing and wearing masks and just trying to be sensible. But, you know, there's only so much you can do. And, you know, I would say the fact that we've seen positives pop up, I'm a little bit concerned that, you know, that'll sort of proliferate within teams. But then also, it seems that countries all around the EU, including Italy, are starting to kind of become more restrictive again. And so it'll be interesting. I mean, I couldn't tell you if I'm pretty 50-50 on whether the Giro makes it to Milan or not. I really hope so. I mean, it would be a blow for the sport, but I mean, we'll just have to see. And I think everything will carry on unless the national authorities come in and say otherwise. So for the moment, I think we just have to continue to be vigilant and do our best and then just hope for the best, because at some point, you know, it's a bit out of our control. But it would be a shame to see the race altered in a way, you know, where we don't get the final, the mountain stage is quite condensed into the final week, and we haven't really had the big mountain tests aside from Etna. And to lose that, I feel, would be, you know, a real blow to the race. But in any case, I personally am not spending a whole lot of time thinking about it, because I know it's sort of completely out of our control, and we'll take the race day by day. And, you know, today was a good day for us. Brandon was second. I think he's up to 13th on GC. So we'd like to support him there, and hopefully he can continue moving up the GC. Hopefully we can win some more stages in the race. And on a personal level, I just kind of hope that, you know, this bug that I seem to have caught passes, and, you know, that I can be present again in the third week, rather than, you know, today was just kind of a day of survival for me.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rick Zabel, and I write for Israel Startup Nation. This is my third Giro.
Hello, everybody. It's Rick again. Last two stages, yesterday, stage six, was, I thank God that we, because normally it was a super hard start with two climbs above 10K, but we didn't quite easy. We blocked the road, four guys went away, and then with an easy race, Bora brought back the breakaway, and then there were some climbs in the final. So it was a hard final, hard uphill sprint. I think we did a good job there. Davide Cimolai, our sprinter, was very strong, finished up fifth. Good performance from the team and from Davide. And today was a cross sprint stage from the gun. Oh, so it was hectic, really fast. Even though it was under 3 hours, it felt like forever because it was so stressful. I kind of like these races, but on day 7 of a Grand Tour, I would have also liked an easier day. But it looks like there are no easy days here in the Giro. I'm just happy I finished in one piece without a crash today. And we did a good lead out again for Rudy Barbier, our sprinter today on the flat stages. Finished 6th, so we are always up there in the mix, but we want to get closer to the podium or to get a stage win. That's our goal for the next stages. So let's see. And also the first rest day is around the corner. 2 days to go and then we have a rest day. Looking forward to another sprint day tomorrow normally. But looks like Arnaud Demare is in a great shape. Right now he looks, I don't want to say unbeatable, but it looks that it's going to be hard against him.
Hey guys, yes, great day for us. Alex Dowsett and Matthias Brendle made history today. First Grand Tour stage win for our team. I think also first World Tour win. And yeah, incredible. I really like when a plan works out how you planned it. And we thought that I think FDG maybe is quite happy with three stage wins, and Bora don't want to chase anymore for Sagan when he gets every time beaten by Demar. And Quickstep also has no interest in chasing a break all day alone. And the other teams may be safe for the hard stage tomorrow. So we thought, okay, it's going to be a good chance for the breakaway. And our goal was to be in there with two riders. Then when Matthias and Alex went clear, I directly said, "This are the best two guys we have in a breakaway because they are the big engines for a long day in the break." And we were perfect. We closed the road pretty good. And after a big fight, they went away. And yeah, then Alex won the stage. Matthias did a great job, and I'm so happy also for Alex because he don't have a contract for the moment. And yeah, I'm sure this will help a lot. He's a great teammate, he's a great guy, and he really deserves that win. And he really also, yeah, needs to have a good team for next year. I hope he can stay in our team because I like him as a teammate a lot. And yeah, I think now everything looks a little bit better. The future looks brighter for him now. And yeah, we enjoy the moment, and we enjoy that day. And it's just nice. Our goal was to win a stage here, and we did it. So yeah, the next stage is we can take on with even more motivation. It's Rick again. Hello. Yeah, stage 9 yesterday was personally for me, I think, the hardest stage of the Giro so far. Maybe it was because it was already on day 9, but also we had a super fast start with 52 average speed in the beginning. And then the break just went after 80 kilometers. So we did already a few climbs, and I was dropped. But then I came back in the downhill before the first big climb. And then I suffered through with the peloton until I think like 50k to go. Then Demar and FDG made a gruppetto, and I was happy I could go in the gruppetto with these guys and finish in time without a problem. Just a long and hard day again, 6.5 hours, and then also the weather was pretty bad, cold and rain. I don't even want to think about what's gonna happen in the north. I don't think we can race there when it's already that cold and rainy and bad weather here in the south. So yeah, whatever. Then finally the rest day came, or today is the rest day. Yesterday we had fries and burgers and a beer, which was very nice from our cook. And yeah, just go to bed and knowing that there's no stage tomorrow. And today we did the corona test. Let's see how many positive guys we have in the peloton. After Simon Yates tested positive, I'm also, yeah, looking forward to the results there, and pretty nervous what's gonna happen. And then I recorded a episode for my own podcast. I do a German podcast, and with my teammate Matthias Brendle, we talked about the first 9 stages here in the Giro, and then we had breakfast and lunch. I didn't ride my bike. I'd take a complete day off. And yeah, now I try to watch a movie, have a massage, sleep a little bit. That's what I'm going to do, resting. Hey guys, it's Rick again. Yeah. Honestly, I didn't really care about today's stage because I knew on the one side
I know the final's gonna be pretty hard, and it's more for punchers, and it's not a pure sprint. So yeah, I took it as a day where I try to come through as easy as possible. But on the other side, like it's the situation with the COVID is for me, personal, it's a really bad situation. You could see what happened now with Mitchell. They had one rider positive, and now a few days later, four staff members are positive. They pulled out of the race now. Good decision in my opinion, taking the responsibility as well as Jumbo Visma. Big respect to these two teams, and it's a bit a strange feeling, you know, like when now three guys tested positive, you raced with 9 days in the peloton, and always some guys are sneezing, coughing in the peloton, so it's really easy to spread the virus in the peloton, in my opinion, and we are still racing. It's pretty hard to understand for me, honestly. I just hope that at some point they will think about the heels of the riders, because I don't want to race here and get COVID. And it's a little bit of a strange situation we're in right now, because the RCS is trying to do anything to finish this Giro in Milano. I think I'm missing a little bit of statement from the UCI, or taking responsibility from the CPA or from the UCI. In our case, it is like in my team, everybody tested negative, so it's nothing really we can do except of racing and giving our best. But for sure, it's a strange feeling to race with people around you where you know, okay, maybe they could have COVID, they could be positive. Because I don't want to go home and have quarantine or have the virus, because also for me personal, I'm expecting a child straight after the Giro. And I don't want to miss the birth of my son. So, yeah, it's a little bit a hard place I'm in right now mentally, because of one side, of course, I want to do my best here and want to finish the Giro d'Italia. But on the other side, it's hard with the situation. And I don't know. Like I don't know which decision. I don't think it's up to the teams. It's up to the organization. It's up to the Italian government or to the UCI to say something. But I think in this case, cycling is a little bit lost because, they just, in my opinion, they just care about the profit to keep the show going on. The show must go on, and Let's see how things go on in the next days. I hope we're testing more and to see how the situation develops. And I think that's the only thing we can do at the moment. But for sure, it's not nice. I think heels should be the most important for everybody here, and not to keep the race going.
You are listening to Kilometer Zero by The Cycling Podcast, powered by Zwift, the fitness app that turns indoor riding into a game. Explore endless roads, race riders from all over the world, and boost your fitness with monthly training plans and structured workouts. Join the world's training playground, where fun is fast. Go to Zwift.com and start your free trial.
My name's Greg Henderson. I retired from professional cycling in 2017. Now I'm a performance coach at Israel Startup Nation. I'm an online coach for Zwift and a Zwift ambassador. My career started as a track cyclist, where I went to 5 Olympics and world champion on the track. And ergo training was a large part of our daily workouts, really. And so I sort of carried that on over as I turned professional on the road. It used to be like the good old-fashioned 5x5s on the ergo, and you'd stare at a brick wall and beat yourself bloody senseless, you know. And then obviously these new platforms came out, and I was one of the first actually onto Zwift. Yeah, I started riding around Whytopia, actually, just really enjoying it. And I was actually found myself, I wasn't necessarily even doing intervals and enjoying just cruising around. But then, of course, when you would build your workouts in Zwift and then with the smart trainer that can actually control the power that you put out for you. You don't have to think. So when you see something with 400 watts for 40 seconds, you don't have to like change gear and try and hold that power. The smart trainer just clamps on and you don't have a choice. You're holding on to 400 watts whether you like it or not. So it was really introduced specialized training, and I found that obviously like everyone else who's taken up Zwift and become addicted to it, the time just passed so quickly compared to staring at a brick wall. Basically what it's key for is time efficiency. You get on, you do your 10-15 minute warm-up, and then you smack straight into the intervals. And like I said, the intensity that you can put out and the complete structure in which you can put out, you know, you can't really replicate that perfectly on the road. And the other really, really important thing about Zwift is you can replicate it. It's like being in a lab. So if you do a training session for a couple of weeks and then you try it again, and all of a sudden you can see, you can visibly see on Zwift, your power numbers have increased or your heart rate's dropped because you're in the same environment. There's no variations. You haven't got a headwind today. You haven't got fast chip road or slow chip road. All these micro adjustments that happen out on the road, it's almost like a lab type scenario when you're riding on Zwift.
Ciao a tutti! I'm Nathan Haas, I ride for Team Cofidis, and this is my fourth Giro.
It's Nathan Haas again, reporting in after stage 7 of the Giro d'Italia. What can I say about today? It was chaos. Crosswinds, super fast. In fact, it was the fastest ever stage done for average speed at the Giro d'Italia. I think it was 51.6k average, which is fast, furious. The racing was on from kilometer zero, echelon splitting, and you never actually were really sure which was the front and which was the next group. It was really fun when you're on the front end of it, but when you're the nail in a bike race, it feels terrible. But we started off in a town called Matera, which is definitely on my list of to-go-to places, actually as a tourist. And it's definitely one of my favorite things about pro cycling, that you kind of get to do these like soft visits for places and, you know, not necessarily waste your time just because you went on TripAdvisor and saw somewhere that might be cool. I have this huge book of places that I need to go back to as a tourist after cycling, and Matera now is definitely moving to the top of that list. It's such a beautiful place, and not only is the old town just something that, you know, the heritage committee in Italy has done an incredible job of maintaining everything to its era and its time and its place, but also the nature around it just looked phenomenal. All these caves, and I've just been Googling Matera a little bit after the stage, and it's just, it looks like a really exciting place to go to. Coming back to the stage though, there's a lot of big crashes, a lot of chaos, and a very fast sprint finish. You know, unfortunately for us, we could only help Elia get 10th place, which is, you know, still better than 11th or where I finished, you know, somewhere a little bit further back. But, you know, we're really here to try to get a victory and to help Elia have a good chance of winning. And, you know, we're hoping that still with lots of sprint stages to come, we can do that. But it's looking pretty hard to beat Damar at the moment. He's sitting on a hat trick. And if he wins tomorrow, that's 3 out of 3 stages, which is, you know, by any means, a pretty classy thing to do in cycling. But anyway, tonight we got to have a pretty nice pasta from this area. It's called orecchietti alla espinaco e broccoli, which orecchietti is like a small round cup pasta. And it's actually like the earlobe. Orecchietti actually translates to ear or small ear. And it's a really nice actually texture. It has a really good mouthfeel. It's like on one side it has a cool texture, and the other side is like a small little cup just to suck up the flavor of the pasta sauce. I wasn't a big fan of the espinaca and broccoli sauce though. It almost tasted a bit slimy, but it was cool to try. It's not on my list of to make pastas at home, but if you're ever in the area of Matera, I would suggest trying it. It's pretty cool. Anyway, tomorrow is an exciting stage. Could be a sprint, could be a breakaway, could be lots of things. But hopefully, less wind, and hopefully a little bit less speed. Anyway, good night everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow!
Good evening to all of the lovely listeners of the Cycling Podcast. It's Nathan Haas again, reporting in from the Giro. Wow. Just finished stage 9. Kind of besottled by the fact that we're coming up to the first rest day, but it also is not even halfway through the Grand Tour, and I am feeling like a truck has hit me. I'm sure I'm going to feel better tomorrow when I get to wake up and have a PCR test at 8 a.m. You know, don't want to give us any sleep-ins. Got to have that PCR test straight away to make sure we don't have corona, which is good medicine. Very glad about that. But it's when I heard that tonight, that we are getting up early tomorrow, it was like, you know, your birthday cake being taken away from you before you get to have a slice. I've just been looking forward to this sleep-in so much. But anyway, today was an exceptionally hard stage. I think it was 4,500 meters climbing. It was raining on and off all day, and I kind of got sick of actually taking my jacket off and on and on and on and off and on. And you know, for anyone that does a bit of riding out in the rain, when you take a jacket off, your sleeves are the wrong way out. So then the next time you have to go put it on, you have to work on getting your sleeves right. And I know this is sounding like a first world problem, but you know, when you're out there for over 6 hours in freezing cold rain, and then you're going up a climb and you're getting, now, okay, now I'm too hot, I'm too sweaty. Ah. Life feels kind of hard. But in the end, it was actually a well-raced stage. We flew, I think it was 54.5 Ks in the first hour. So we got a lot done pretty early. So by the time we actually hit the hills, felt like the team's controlling were relaxing a little bit more, which is nice. But there was a big time gap, big time limit too. So the gruppetto kind of not relaxed, but we didn't have to kill ourselves in fear of just making it to the finish. But one thing that we all were talking about today was how much fear we have for this third week once we get to the north of Italy. You know, we're already racing in October, and you know, the shadows feel like they're actually going from the rider across the road to the garden. And it's, yeah, it's definitely interesting when you think about most people would already be a few weeks into their off season, and we are halfway through a Grand Tour, and we're going to the north of Italy where we've already seen quite a bit of snow. So I think today was the first day where we really felt that cold to the bone, and I think a few of us are a bit worried about it. But safe to say, we have our one saving grace, which again is our pasta. So now I am back in Adriatico coastline, which I actually think is, it's, how do I say it? I don't feel like it's the prettiest coastline in all of Italy, not by any stretch of the imagination. I think that belongs to the Amalfi perhaps, but it's definitely a nice coastline. But I really like the kind of like the village feeling it has here. It feels like everybody is on vacation, even when we're here in that kind of like off peak season time of year. So it's definitely a place that I like. But tonight I'm actually not going to talk about pasta. We're going to talk about the fresh fish that we had for dinner. It was stunning. It was definitely fresh caught. Well, I hope it was anyway. And it was the whole fish served just with a little bit of lemon and grilled. And sometimes my favorite thing about Italian food is that it's actually just so simple, and it lets the actual produce and the product speak for itself. So tonight, no pasta. We're not racing tomorrow. We're going to have a night off the gluten, sadly. But tonight's fish was spectacular. Loved it. And I would recommend anybody looking for an interesting new place to come and feel a good holiday vibe to come down to the Adriatic coastline. It's beautiful. And breathe. Finally, we got to the rest day after 9 stages. Not going to be that rider that, you know, puts out all their power numbers and all their kind of stress files and everything. But what I will say was, that's possibly the hardest 9 days so far this season for me. We haven't had too many big tours or anything to really compare this 9 days to, but that has been some full gas bike racing, and the rest day was very welcome, I think, by absolutely everybody. We were fortunate enough to actually get out today before the rain, which was just amazing, because sitting on
an indoor bike, especially after the year we've had where I basically did 10 weeks of indoor cycling, that was not my idea of a restful, relaxing rest day. However, we did start the morning with a PCR test, a big painful jab up the nose. So that was a bit of a shock to the system, but good to see that we're doing good medicine and making sure that the Duro is as safe as possible. It's important, you know, not only to the riders and to the staff, but it's, you know, we don't want to be the vector for the issue. So we kind of take it as a real privilege that we have the ability to be tested as much as we can be, so that we can be as responsible as an event as possible. So for me, I welcome the PCR test, even though it feels just horrible. My favorite part about a rest day, though, is actually the fact that we get to have lunch. And for the last 10 days, we haven't had lunch. We've just had gels and rice cakes and bottles. And it's something that you actually kind of forget about, just the simple act of sitting down in front of a table, in front of a plate, taking a breath, and then taking a beautiful bite of something to eat for lunch. And today we got to try a few different pastas, actually, which was cool. Not that you eat too much pasta on a rest day, but you still have a little bit. You need to up those glycogen stores, but not quite the same as you would before, you know, the night before a stage. But one of the pastas that was on offer today was pasta Adriatico, which is... it's a little bit like a seafood marinara, but without mussels. It's actually more scampi and prawns and octopus, which for me, if I'm honest, I was a little bit freaked out about eating seafood at a grand tour. I don't really like rolling the dice that much. I'm a risk taker, but not in that kind of a way. I've had food poisoning before, and it's probably the only time in my life I genuinely wanted to die, and I do not want that to happen before a grand tour. So I opted for the pasta alla matriciana, which is not of the region, but it's still one of my favorite pastas. It was good, but I have to tell you, my mom makes a much better one. But I'm hoping that we get to move into a region soon that actually has alla matriciana as their traditional dish of the area, because I'm pretty sure it's a stunning pasta that I would love to try in the right place at the right time. But anyway, I hope everybody also enjoyed a day off from the media onslaught from bike racing. It's been a lot on lately, and I hope everyone's ready for a big one tomorrow, because the stage here at the Giro is going to be balls to the wall. I think there's a few climbs at the end, which are like 24% to 26%, and steep and long, and it's going to be full gas. I think tomorrow's more of one of those secret hidden GC days, a little bit like a stage that we had at Torino Adriatico, actually, so... given we're in the region, it's probably going to be the same thing. So anyway, thanks for listening in, and I hope I didn't bore you too much with my rest day boring tone. Even though the boring tone might seem boring for you, I'm actually just genuinely relaxed. So anyway, namaste. Hello to all the listeners of the Cycling Podcast. It's Nathan Hass reporting in from the Cofidis team bus. I apologize if there is a humming in the background, but that is the noise of the bus. So yesterday, what can we say about yesterday? That was quite a dramatic way to start the morning to find out. Unfortunately, so many riders and so many staff members have tested positive for COVID. It's quite concerning. But at the same time, I think we're all just trying to work out what's going on and what the rules are and how things continue. It's kind of full on, but you know, full respect for teams like Jumbo and Mitchelton for making the decision to leave the race on their own. I think you know, any decision that's made with the best interest of public health is always one that is the right decision in my mind. So I think it's going to be an interesting few days, weeks, when it comes to the Giro d'Italia, but I think still what we're all most concerned about is just the general health of everybody over the next few months or years until this is hopefully in the past to some extent. But anyway, coming into the race, we were very motivated, our team, for getting in the breakaway, and I was in a breakaway quite a few times and absolutely destroyed myself to try to make them work, but
teams just kept bringing it back, and then finally when the real breakaway went, Bora decided that wasn't right, and then it turned into over 80Ks until the bunch actually accepted the group, and we went over all these steep climbs, super steep climbs. I think even in the profile we weren't quite expecting it to be so steep, and I think at one point there was five different groups split on the road after one of the climbs. It was really hectic, and then we set up, and then we decided to chase straight away with Team UAE. They were super motivated to bring it back, I think, for Ulissi, but I think, you know, with the question marks on how long the Giro is going to go for, I think teams now are seeing every day is possibly the last opportunity to actually take something from the race. So I think, you know, even if we make it to Milan, I think this new dynamic is definitely going to make racing even more exciting. But anyway, on to the thing that everyone's actually listening to my rambles for, not this talk on bikes, is the pasta files. So last night, we're actually at a hotel that we stayed at during Tirreno Adriatico a few weeks ago, and I was talking with the maitre d' of the restaurant and asked if they could make some pesto for me, because I have just been dying to have some pesto for the whole time we've been here in Italy. I know it's not the region where pesto comes from, but they obliged, and they went to the kitchen and they made some fresh pesto, and the green color was insane. It was almost like it was nuclear green. And yeah, I mean, once anyone's had a good pesto, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Served with rigatoni, and I went to bed a very happy cyclist. Waking up this morning, we are now heading to the start of stage 11 for a sprint stage, and if anybody wants to have a quick little preview look at what the final 5 kilometers looks like, it looks like a bowl of spaghetti. This is a very technical final, and I think there's going to be some fireworks.